I am the light of the world, Jesus said. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness. But we do walk in the dark. We do sit in the dark. And the darkness, it can feel overwhelming. My wife, Chan, she's in Haiti. She's working as a nurse at the U.S. Embassy. You know the stories coming out of Haiti. The political situation has always been a mess, and it has escalated. The warring gangs, the violence. Over the weekend, she and I were together for a day and a half. They had strategic attacks, two prisons, thousands of convicts, violent criminals, gang leaders escaped into the community. It's a very frightening, horrific time for the Haitian people. And Chan was disturbed. And I'm like, are you okay? And she said, as a part of their team and this whole thing, they had to see some security videos to know exactly what was going on. She couldn't tell me about it. It's unspeakable, she said, what the Haitian people are experiencing. She says, I can't unsee it. It's heavy. And it's widespread. I mean, you name it. Haiti, Gaza, Israel, Russia, Ukraine. The list is so long. It can make us feel helpless, hopeless. And that's the stuff that's at a distance. I mean, there's so much that we can't begin to understand or fathom, but there's a lot of stuff that we know, too. We know about sitting in the dark. It's different, but it's still dark. The darkness of grief. The darkness of our depression. The fears that grip us and control us, the times that we've heard the doctors say really hard things. Dr. Gardner Taylor, he was known as the dean of American preaching. He was the grandson of emancipated slaves. And he grew up in the early 19th century in the segregated South. He was an important leader in the civil rights movement, religious leader. He was good friends with Martin Luther King Jr. He was a mentor to Martin Luther King Jr. He tells a story about when he was just starting out. He was a young preacher in Louisiana, and this was in the Depression era before they had, or at the time they were getting electricity in that area. And so in this little rural black church where he was preaching, they had one light bulb that was just hanging down. And that one light bulb lit up the whole sanctuary. And so he was in the middle of his sermon, just preaching away, and the electricity goes out. And now, all of a sudden, it's dark. He didn't know what to do. I mean, he's completely new at this. He's fumbling around. Finally, an old deacon sitting in the back of the church just shouts out, "Preach on, preacher. Preach on. We can still see Jesus in the dark." I'm curious about that. About seeing Jesus in the dark. Okay, so this is part two of I Am the Light of the World. Part two. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Follow me and you won't be in the dark. It's true, you know, in a number of ways, actually. In my life experience, Jesus comes into my life. Literally, the light bulb comes on. So now I can see with spiritual eyes is the only way I know how to explain it. And what I mean by that is there's an awakening that happens. God is real. The darkness of my doubt, it goes away. I'm not walking in that anymore. I know that something is going on. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. This is another thing in my life. So as an example, we have one of those swinging doors on the hinge. It swings both ways from the kitchen into the living room, and it's full of these little windows. And my wife, Chan, says, hey, honey, will you wash the windows in the swinging door? And I'm like to myself, are you kidding me? That thing has at least 1,000 windows. And it's 7 o'clock. It's fast approaching my bedtime. Sure, honey, I'll wash the windows in the swinging door. And so, I don't know how long it took me. I wash every one of these windows. And I work hard at it, too. The next day, I don't know, it's the middle of the day. The sun is shining bright. And she comes up to me and says, I thought I asked you to wash the windows and the swinging door that goes from the kitchen into the living room. And I said, I did wash the windows, all 1,000 of them, from the swinging door that goes from the living room into the kitchen. And she took me over there and showed me. And in the light of the sun, those windows look awful. Like they were smeared. There was still dirt in the corners. It's like that. It's like that with us. Jesus is the light of the world, and he shines into my darkness. Even when I think everything is fine, and I see it, and I know it, there's an awareness about myself when the light shines on me. But the amazing thing is I experience forgiveness, and I no longer walk in the darkness of my sin. Another thing about it that's true, you've experienced it, I've experienced this, is God guides us. Just like a flashlight, just like a light, helps us see the way. In Rob's sermon, I am the true vine, last Sunday, Jesus says, Rob's text, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And Rob said, the branch is vine dependent. At the heart of it, being Christian is about the transforming relationship. It's not only where we find our rest, he said, it's where we find our bearing and our calling. And that's where it connects with this I am saying. The light of Christ, it guides us. It shows the way. In my devotional time, not too many weeks ago, the passage of scripture I was reading was from Isaiah chapter 30. It said, though the Lord may give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teacher will not hide himself any longer, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, Jesus says. And I was reading that, I'm like, wait a minute. Jesus walks into darkness all the time. Like, he goes right into the places where the demoniacs are, the violent men in chains, and delivers them. He walks right up to lepers or right into a leper colony and is surrounded by them. And the cross. He walks straight into the darkness of suffering and death.
It's where he goes. And he talks about us following him. I think an eye-opening moment, a pretty big one, you've heard me talk about it before, is this story when I saw what Jesus was really saying to Peter. You know, he's with the disciples and he turns to Peter and he sets Peter aside as the leader and he gives him a new name, which is a thing in the Bible. You know, Simon, son of John, you are now Peter, Cephas. In Greek, it means the rock. And Jesus says, on you, on this rock, I will build my church. And you remember? Jesus says, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And I finally saw it for what it is. It's not that the church is this mighty fortress that hell can't get through its gates and that we're protected from it. It's like hell is not safe from us. And you know, pretty early on in Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. He looks at the disciples. He looks at the crowd. He says, you are the light of the world. And isn't that Jesus saying that you are to walk into the darkness, into the very gates of hell? Tony Campolo was invited to attend the monthly breakfast gathering for the survivors of Auschwitz. They gathered in the back room of a firehouse near the Philadelphia airport. It was a simple breakfast, about 20 men and women. They sat down, they ate, they affirmed the bonds that had been created between them because of their mutual suffering. And it was horrific, as you know. Tony asked one of the men if he cringed every time he heard someone with a German accent and whether or not his experiences had made him into someone who hated Germans. This is what he said. He said, I was just a boy when they loaded my father and me into a train and shipped us off to the prison camp. We were in a boxcar, squeezed together so that we could hardly breathe. It was more than 3 days that we traveled on that train. It would stop and sometimes sit for hours, and we had no food and no water. The stench of excrement and urine pervaded the air. I remember crying because my stomach hurt from lack of food. But twice during the night, at stops along the way to Auschwitz, people sneaked out of the surrounding woods, came up to the boxcar, and slipped pieces of bread and cups of water through the boxcar slats. My gratitude for those kindnesses is still overwhelming. And every time I hear someone with a German accent, I think to myself, this could be the child or the grandchild of one of those persons who reached out to me in my hour of need. At the end of the breakfast, these survivors, victims of such terror and such darkness, they stood, got into a circle, held hands, and they started to sing, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. In the prison camp, at the start of every day, they got into a circle, held hands, and sang a song. And it was their reminder throughout the day that even though it was dark, they were not alone. I hope that you're reading our Lenten devotional. On Sunday, Georgia Blackburn wrote and led us in our devotion. Georgia is in the second grade. This is what she said. In the scripture, Jesus says he is the light. When I think of this scripture, I think of a candle. We are the candle. He lights us in our darkest times, and he helps us do kind things. When we are lit, we can go into darkness and spread the light in a way that we don't cause a bonfire. When he lights my candle, I can go to the Friendship House and help people out. On a Saturday morning, I get up early and I feel ready to show kindness. When we get to the friendship house, I sit at a table and listen and talk. I give them a chance to talk about surgeries and stuff they went through, and then I talk about my week. Since some don't have family close by, I like to be their family. Through giving big welcomes, helping them smile, and reminding them what it is like being a kid, just by me being me. Thank you, Georgia, for helping me see Jesus in the dark. Amen.